Welcome to Chip Chat, an interview series that connects you with technology experts around the issues that industry is focused on today. And now your host, Allison Klein.
Welcome to Chip Chat. My name is Allison Klein. Today, I'm very excited to have Dr. Naveen Rao, VP and GM of the Artificial Intelligence Products Group with Intel in the studio with me. Welcome, Naveen.
Thank you.
So, Naveen, you were on the show last year talking about your introduction to Intel after joining the company from Nirvana. Since then, your team has had a whirlwind ride of development, and we wanted to have you back to hear what's the latest in AI. But why don't we just get started with an introduction of you and your background in AI?
Sure. My name is Naveen Rao. I actually started out in computer architecture out of undergrad. I always had an interest in understanding how computation is accomplished in biological systems. Even from undergrad, I did a research project around neuromorphic engineering, which are electronic circuits that kind of behave similarly to neural circuits. You know, then you come out to Silicon Valley and you join a company like Sun Microsystems and you do computer architecture, and then that sort of becomes your career path. I went to a number of different startups at that point, building chips for various purposes like video compression, video content delivery, wireless. And then, you know, after 10 years in industry, I actually decided I wanted to come back to my original passion, either now or never. And so I quit my job and I went to get a PhD in computational neuroscience. And it was actually a lot of fun for me. I basically threw myself completely into neuroscience. I was training monkeys and learning how to do neurosurgery and, you know, actually building mathematical models that help us understand how computation is done in the brain. And so after that, I really want to bring together these two disciplines of computer architecture, what we can build in an engineered silicon system, and some concepts that we know work very well in the brain. And so actually, that was right around the time that deep learning started coming on the scene. And so that actually was the genesis of Nirvana, was this desire to really drive the field of computation forward by taking concepts from the brain and also having a mathematical framework that allows us to do something useful. So this was the opportunity to really do that. And I think the industry is now being transformed by this kind of thinking and these concepts.
What is it in neuroscience, and what did you learn as you pursued that degree that told you that this would be applicable to computer science?
Well, I mean, I'm not the first one to do that, of course. One could argue that the best example we have of a computer is the human brain. The proof that you can build something out of physical stuff that accomplishes almost magical things. It's just we haven't figured out how to do it yet. So clearly there's an example that one can do it. So how do we do that? Let's start taking it apart. And some of the concepts that I found that were really interesting were just highly parallel and distributed computations, how you manage interconnection between information processing nodes. Also, low precision representation. So the brain is inherently very noisy. Each neuron is actually, this is a big argument in the field, but are somewhat stochastic. They have a randomness to them. And so that actually decreases how much information can be represented by each neuron. So we still end up with very reliable behaviors, right? I can tell you to pick up a glass sitting in front of you and you can do it 100 times and you'll do it right every time. But it's built out of components that are actually very noisy in nature. And those concepts are things that actually we've been able to bring together into silicon. And if you see what the next line of products coming out will be from Intel around the Crest family, it's actually using some of these concepts. Low precision, high degrees of parallelism, managing intercommunication between processing elements. So it's really cool for me to see that happening in industry. I didn't actually think it would happen in my lifetime, but it really is. So, and being part of it is a wonderful experience.
Now, fast forward, you find your organization at Intel. Why make the move to Intel, and what has this given you in terms of capabilities to deliver the next generation of computers optimized for artificial intelligence?
Well, Intel is the supplier of compute for the world, right? So I think this is actually the evolution of compute. This is what's going to happen to compute over time. CPUs were built for a particular purpose, and you know, there's been a lot of architectural tweaks over the years, but they fundamentally do the same thing, right? They do very fast serial automation of calculations. Data inference is actually the bigger problem we have now going forward. We have huge data sets, and finding use of those data sets is really what we want to accomplish. So, you know, Intel is clearly well positioned for that. I mean, we already have the marketing channels and the sales channels to get into customers that actually will use this stuff. So that's huge if you want to see your stuff come out in industry and actually have it be used. Also, we have a lot of resources, right? Of course, we have the best silicon engineering in the world, and that's extremely important to making these solutions fast, dense, and low power. So all of these things combined actually allow us to have a much bigger lever of influence upon the industry and upon the world. That's what was exciting about Intel for me.
Now, talk a little bit about the portfolio of technologies and products that you're working on within your organization and how they form a framework for broader innovation for the industry.
What we're doing is taking a very holistic approach here. So when a data scientist wants to use these tools on a data set, there's a number of different levels that they have to interact with. So today, there are software frameworks that are out there from one company. There's hardware from another. And actually making all of these things work together is not simple. And that's the reason that you see a high friction of adoption for many of these tools in the greater enterprise. I mean, Google and Facebook and Baidu, that's a different story. They have the experts that can do this. But companies that don't have those expertise but want to leverage these techniques simply can't do it. So we look at it as time to solution. From starting, here's what I want to get out of my data, to ending, what I got out of my data. That's sort of our metric. And as part of that, we have a full stack of solutions going from high-level software, where we actually have, in some cases, pretty fully baked solutions, right? I mean, ADG, Autonomous Driving Group, is an example of that. We're actually building a full vertical stack for autonomous driving, to things like media or finance, where we give them pieces that allow them to build solutions. And then below that, we actually support frameworks. Deep learning frameworks are the way a data scientist interacts with a neural network model and actually brings data into it and trains it and explores. So we're interacting with the community by optimizing those frameworks on Intel hardware, as well as bringing our own framework out into the open source, which is a part of Nirvana before. It's called Neon. And we're continuing support for that. It's kind of the reference standard. All the newest innovations related to our hardware will be there first in the open source, and then we'll eventually get it into the rest of the framework. Beneath that, we're actually innovating on the hardware side, but enabling existing hardware for AI. I mean, a lot of customers don't even realize that their Xeon sitting in their data center can actually run deep learning quite well. It's not too bad. It's actually something that Intel hasn't really been talking about, but NVIDIA doesn't want them to, because these are contentious claims that, hey, your CPU can actually do, you know, most of the work that you need, or even if not all the work that you need. So making sure that our customers know that and they have the tools to enable them on those platforms, and then also have an upgrade path to go to something that's really high performance and leadership performance. And that's the other part of what we're working on. In terms of products portfolio, we'll see these things manifest as a hosted cloud to get customers up and running quickly, as well as appliance and, of course, just silicon. So all of that's enabled by this entire software stack.
When you look at the underlying silicon innovation, Intel is offering a number of different technologies in this space. Tell me why there's a whole portfolio of technologies addressing AI workloads in the marketplace, and why the differentiation?
Well, there's a few different facets to deep learning or AI solutions. So the first part of it's training. And what we mean by that is actually feeding a neural network examples and having it learn some kind of underlying structure of those examples. So building a face detector, for instance, having the neural network learn on that. That's typically a data center thing. It's something where we have a giant data set sitting in some kind of a storage, and we want to throw this kind of compute at it to actually train the neural network. Highly compute intensive, typically has high power demands. So it's something that kind of stays in the data center. Some of that might be moving out in the future, but right now it's kind of a data center thing. Then we have what's called inference. Inference is using the neural network you just trained for its purpose. So if you built a face detector, you trained it off a bunch of faces and images, then you say, here's a face, who is it? That process is called inference. So inference can actually be highly varied. It can be data center inference, where we have a large data set that we want to run inference on. That's a huge use case, and actually it's related to things that Google has been doing with the TPU. Then there's edge inference, which is a device like a phone or a security camera or something like that that actually you want to have these capabilities on. So you can imagine the envelope of capabilities as well as power is quite different between these two scenarios. On the edge, you're very, very power sensitive. In a data center, you're less power sensitive, but you care much more about performance. So there's actually a whole spectrum in between there. So this is a very important thing, that inference requires specificity to that application, whereas training is a little bit less so. And that's why we see a lot of different silicon offerings for these kinds of problems.
Obviously, we're in the infancy of AI development. Tell me a little bit about, when you're talking to customers or developers, where you see this exploding in terms of new types of experiences, new types of capabilities for both business and humankind. What are you most excited about?
Well, in terms of industry, I'm actually most excited about healthcare. I think this has the potential to really affect humanity at its core, right? I mean, making sure that people are healthier and using AI techniques to do that and make it cheap and accessible, I think is extremely important. That's sort of my pet desire, is to see that happen. The healthcare industry is a tough nut to crack, of course, right? It's highly regulated and incentive structures make it complicated from a business standpoint. I think it will happen. It is happening today, but we're actually not technology limited right now. I think we're more policy and business model limited there. Other use cases that we see, of course, are any interaction that we have with a human and a machine, a human and a computer, tend to be somewhat driven by or at least touched by AI today. So if you use Facebook or Google, which are probably the two biggest websites that everybody uses, I mean, that entire experience now is driven by AI. And we're going to start seeing this in other places too, right? I mean, smaller devices are going to start being able to recognize more noisy inputs, right? The way we like to interact with devices would be a more natural kind of noisy thing. We talk to them, we type in sort of imperfect ways. And so to be able to interpret those things and personalize those things is something I think is really cool and important. Like, for instance, I want my phone to learn my voice and be able to pick out my voice in a crowd. I should be able to talk to it and should recognize who I am and know what I'm saying and what I'm asking for. Today, they're kind of generic. They work pretty well, but if it's noisy, it doesn't work. So is that something we can do better? And I think what we're going to start seeing are these technologies melding into the background. They're going to power all these things behind the scenes, and we're just going to see more enriched, better interactions with our machine.
And what is Intel doing to ensure that AI technology opportunity is as broad as possible in terms of the participants, developers, academia, participating and delivering the most wide array of new capabilities versus limiting development within a few companies?
Well, Intel has a long history of interacting with academia, and this is no exception. A lot of it started from the high-performance computing side, highly parallel distributed systems, and that's continuing. So academia is really the fuel that makes all this innovation go. Inside of Intel, of course, we have our own labs, which are doing some really incredible work. And actually, within AIPG, we have a applied research lab, which is a little bit shorter-term looking than what Intel labs might be doing, and a little bit more tied to our product portfolio. Other than that, we have the Intel Nervana Academy. It's run by SSG. This is teaching developers how to use our tools and just teaching them general concepts about AI and how to build a solution that actually solves certain kinds of problems. Beyond that, we have lots of work with startups through Intel Capital and obviously our various partners out there in industry. I mean, the big guys, of course. But we also interact with many different companies in the enterprise. I would say it's a very long tail of companies that are not quite as big as an Amazon, but pretty decent sized accounts on their own right. So I think we, as Intel, this is actually one of the pieces that's very exciting for me, is that we have such tremendous reach into all of these different venues.
Naveen, it's been a pleasure talking to you. It's so exciting to hear about this work. And, you know, we want to continue to bring stories from you and your organization. If folks want to engage further in what the AI products group is doing at Intel, where would you send them for more information?
So we actually launched a new brand called Intel Nervana, and we have a new website called IntelNirvana.com. So I encourage everyone to go and check that out. There are tutorials. There are lots of information there that you can get started on what we're doing. There's also a Twitter handle, Intel Nervana, that will be posting the latest updates and any new things that come out, new software features, all of that's very targeted to developers and data scientists.
Well, thank you so much for being on the program today. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Allison. Likewise.
Visit ChipChat online at intel.com/chipchat. And for more information on data center technologies, visit intel.com/bigdata, intel.com/cloud, and intel.com/datacenteroptimization.